friends, please be seated for a moment, for the time now of our time together in the Word. If you need an outline, please feel free to get up. They're on the back table there, and you can get one. If you'd like to take some notes and follow along this morning as we share together in the Word of the Lord from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 20, as we move through the gospel account. So this last week, I had a checkup with my doctor, had some labs done. And some months ago, my doctor said, "You're not where you should be." And I knew why. Ice cream, cookies, a long winter where there was no exercise. You know what I'm talking about. So I had to buckle down a little bit, and I had to make some better choices with food and then getting some exercise and all that. Well, I got my labs back this last week, and the doctor said, "You're right where you should be." And so you know what I thought? I can eat ice cream again, right? That's where we go with that, right? No. Okay, I'm right where I should be. Let's stay there. Let's be where we should be. Today, in the gospel account, as we're moving through this season of Pentecost, as the Apostle Luke, by the power of the Spirit, is leading us through this map of where Jesus is and where he should be for the work of salvation on our behalf, as we're joining him there, we find out that Jesus now, according to the Apostle Luke, Jesus has turned to the south. If you remember last week's gospel, Jesus resolutely turned his face to Jerusalem. That is, that's where I need to be. And I'm going to get there, and you're going to come with me to his disciples. Today, we hear that there are 72 who were with him. And for us as God's people, we go with him in this gospel account. This is our map. It's the map of our salvation because we're with Jesus as he's going to Jerusalem to do what he needs to do, to die on the cross, and to suffer for us there, to be rejected by his Father, that our sins would be laid on him so that we would be redeemed, that price paid, and we have a place in the kingdom now saved by his grace and through faith. And so Jesus turns his face to Jerusalem and moves south. And we pick it up today in verse 1 of chapter 10. We hear, "So Jesus appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go." So they're sent out, and they have a place that they're called to be, and that is in these towns and villages going ahead of Jesus. We hear that Jesus uses a unique word, apostello, is what that word means, or is, where he's dispatching. He sends these 72. And as they're being sent, this apostello carries with it some very deep, spiritual, biblical depths to it, to this meaning, that affect us as well. One of them is that when Jesus dispatches the 72, he does so with intentionality. In other words, they have a purpose in going ahead of Jesus. The purpose was to prepare the people in these towns and villages for his arrival. Being sent, apostello, being dispatched, has a purpose to it. But another aspect to it is that when Jesus dispatches the 72, they go with authority. Their sending is under Jesus' ownership of the mission and the message. He owns it. And they go with that ownership as Jesus' representatives. Paul would talk about it as, "You are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ," right? And so Jesus maintains the ownership of this message even as they are dispatched. And finally, there's an accountability aspect to being sent, apostello, in the Lord, because they're Jesus' representatives who reflect the good news. As the people of these towns and villages will engage the 72, they're meeting Jesus for the first time as these representatives of the good news engage with them. That has impact for you and me too, doesn't it? That we too are representatives of the good news. Later on, after Jesus has risen from the dead, he gathers with his disciples on the Mount of Bethany, and he gives them what we know as the Great Commission. And he's speaking to these apostellos now, the apostles particularly, those who would be the ones who would lay the foundation of the good news of Jesus Christ once he's ascended, of which we, the church are built upon the truth that the apostles, those sent ones, declared on behalf of Jesus Christ, of which we're a part of too. Go, he would say, make disciples of all nations, baptize them and teach them, and remember, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That word of the Lord is our word as he dispatches and sends us. We as the church today, we inherit this sentness that Jesus is sending the 72 out with. Mission is not an optional program. It's not a program, and it's not optional for us as the body of Christ, because it's the very expression of our life in Jesus. Mission is who we are in our identity, in our being as the body of Christ. And all of us bear that opportunity as sent ones, apostellos in the name of the Lord, not as apostles, but as representatives and ambassadors, as disciples and witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. These towns and villages where Jesus would go as he sent the 72 to prepare his way. This is the map that engages us today in the Gospel of Luke. But there's another map that engages us today as well. I'd like to invite Reverend Doctor, our pastor today, a guest pastor today, JP. Amy chose to stay in her seat. That's fine, Amy. But JP, would you come with us? Come up here today, please. And we're going to share a little bit of some thoughts together as God's people. Come on, you can stand up here with me. Sure. Yep. So those of you online today this morning, this is J.P. Seema. He and his wife, Amy, are missionaries to, what is this country, J.P.?
Kingdom of Cambodia.
What's Cambodia like, J.P.?
So Cambodia, as you can see, nestled in between two powerhouse countries. You've got Thailand to the west, you have Vietnam to the east, and then basically everywhere to the north is China. And of course, for many Americans, Cambodia is known for its brutal history. From 1975 to 1979, you remember the Khmer Rouge, which in Khmer is the Khmer Krom, the Red Khmer. And that was a brutal genocide committed against Cambodia's own people, in which 25% of the entire population of the country either was murdered or starved to death. Imagine that. 25%. Of the country's population. How do you recover from something like that? And even 50 years later, we're still seeing Cambodia recover from those atrocities.
So this is the country that bears the scars of human, sinful human nature. And even there yet, Jesus would remind us that the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. How many workers like you do we have in Cambodia? So from our church body, there's only JP and Amy who are there. Pretty lonely, I would imagine, sometimes.
At times,
yeah, that's right. The workers are few. But send the workers out into the harvest field, into our neighborhoods, the places where Jesus is sending us, where he wants to be, and where he's sending us to go, in places that bear terrible scars of sinful humanity. And when Jesus says this, he says some things that are associated then with this sending and with this going. Go, he says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. What does that mean? What can we capture there from the word? But that the world is going to be hostile to the good news of Jesus Christ. It's going to hate even you as the messenger. It's going to hate the message that you bring. Expect that. Some are going to reject it outright and even seek to harm you. He says, don't take a purse or bag or sandals. Don't greet anyone on the road. No, you're dependent on me. I'm sending you. You trust and rely on me, which I bet JP and Amy know full well in their living in Cambodia, how much that trust, that reliance on the Lord and the Lord's people for their work to be done in Cambodia. He says, when you enter a house, so he sends his disciples, the 72, into relationships with people, into families. And he talks about that you bless them and that you stay with them. In other words, you rely on them. I think this is one of the first instances that we get of Jesus giving to us a picture of what the body of Christ is like, of people with a pastor. When a pastor comes to you, a missionary comes to you, bless them and rely on them together in the work that you've been given. Some groundwork is being laid here by Jesus for the future of the body of Christ. When you enter a town and are welcomed or are not welcomed, you're going to find lots of different responses from people about your being there. Some of your neighbors next door are going to welcome you and love you as a child of God and as a good neighbor. And others are going to despise you because they know you're Christian. Expect that. And whoever listens to you listens to me. It's not you, it's me, Jesus is saying. Whoever rejects you rejects me. Now, not rejecting you, they're rejecting the message that you bear. And there's a consequence that comes with it. If they're going to reject what you're sharing, if they're going to reject you as a person because of what you're sharing, they're accountable to me, to my Father. And there's consequences with that. This is all part of the message that the 72 were sent forth and with what they carried into these villages. Part of what JP and Amy are dealing with in Cambodia as well. What are some of the struggles? What are some of the challenges, the hurdles that you and Amy and your children, you have three children, that they're, by the way, their children aren't here today because they're spending quality time with Grandpa and Grandma on furlough. Good for them. All right. I knew all about that when we spent furlough time from the Philippines. It was important to be with Grandpa and Grandma. So good. Good for you. But some hurdles that you as a family face, and that is a struggle for people in Cambodia to hear the good news of Jesus.
Yeah, so for our family, I would say there are three. First of all, whenever you go to serve overseas, there's a language barrier. That'll teach you to trust the Lord very, very quickly when you can't even communicate. Quick, funny story. Our first month in the Vietnam, where we served before Cambodia, I wanted to tell my wife that I loved her very much. So you make a million mistakes, and that's only with the language. The second difficulty is culture. For example, in the United States, if I have a problem with Pastor Tim, I don't. You're fine. I love you.
Thank you.
But if I have a problem with him in the U.S., I'm going to go straight to him, and I talk to him about it directly. In large parts of Asia, including Cambodia and Vietnam, that would be very rude to confront him about something. Rather, I'm going to go to you, and you're then going to go to Pastor Tim, and you're going to broker our reconciliation. We call it triangulation. They call it the way you do things. So this is what you have to learn. And then third, just being away from family. Amy's mother, her stepmom, have both died when we've been on the field. My dad died a couple of years ago. That's hard. In terms of the challenges that our brothers and sisters in Christ face, or people that want to hear the good news, I would say that there are also threefold. Number one is the cultural context, in which 98% of Cambodians are Buddhist, and so that is a huge majority. It makes it very, very difficult. Number two, large parts of Cambodia still experience economic hardship. People are so focused on meeting their material needs that sometimes there's a barrier to hearing about their spiritual needs. What was the third one we talked about? I can't remember. Discipleship. Thank you. Discipleship is another key issue. People come to Christ, they hear the message, but then they're easily sucked back into the folk religious practices of the Cambodian context. So the need for ongoing discipleship is huge.
Wow, okay. So this is the context in which Pastor JP and Amy and their children live and have their being in their sentness. This is where, as the Lord says to them, this is where I want you to be. Well, this is what they're dealing with there. And these are the same people that Jesus died for. For you and me, he died for the people in Cambodia as well. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I have been crucified to the world. My life, our lives together as God's people, redeemed in the blood of Jesus, set apart for his purposes. We belong to him, and we enjoy the inheritance of the promises that he gives to us as his sons and daughters, as fellow brothers and sisters with Christ Jesus. And we share this inheritance then with those who don't yet know Jesus. Maybe who are even are locked into a false religion that they believe is true, but has no hope in the end for them. That we can carry, even maybe vicariously, through missionaries to a foreign land where they might know to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. For as we know this truth of our salvation in the cross of Christ, we also know this. There's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. That doesn't mean anything. What counts is the new creation. Cambodian or American. I could have put any of your pictures up there, but then I would have had to ask permission and I didn't want to spend time doing that. So I put Sue, Sam, and me up there. It's all of us together. In Christ Jesus, all of us in Him are new creations. And we'll stand shoulder to shoulder one day in eternity with people who may look like this. Maybe they don't look like that in everyday dress. What, do you know what this is? How this person is dressed?
It's like some kind of ritual context.
Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
They don't dress like that every day.
Yeah.
A ritual,
okay. Maybe they will be, because that marks their Cambodian-ness, whatever. But we'll know them as a brother, or we'll know them as a sister in Christ Jesus. That's what counts, a new creation. When we look at each other, and I see you, and you see each other, you see a person of a different land, and they know Jesus Christ, they're a new creation. Christ Jesus, who lives in them, has claimed them to be at His side in eternity one day. So, Pastor JP, as we talk about people in Cambodia knowing Jesus, what's it like for them to come out of Buddhism, unbelief, and to be counted as a new creation? What are some of the struggles that they face as they know Jesus?
Like I said, 98% of the population is Buddhist. And so there's this connection between the national or cultural identity and the religious identity. That is, to be Cambodian is to be Buddhist. Here in the United States, we can think about an American Christian, an American Muslim, an American Jew, and that makes sense. In Cambodia, you can't think that way. To be Cambodian is to be Buddhist. And so when somebody leaves that context, when somebody converts to Christianity, it's almost like they are perceived to be rejecting their cultural identity. In some cases, I'm going to share a little bit later about some of the youth that we work with who are in exactly the situation. They're the only Christians in their family, and that creates a tension.
So you have some unique challenges that face you in your ministry and that these fellow brothers and sisters of Cambodia face as they live in their culture. And there's challenges that we face in our culture as well. We hear then as the 72, after their mission was complete, they come back to Jesus, and they're all excited about what they experienced. Demons submitted to us, right? And the word and the power of the Lord. But Jesus reminds them of this. Don't rejoice over all of that, which is under my reign, my supremacy, my power. Those things are there under my control. But rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven, that you have a place with your heavenly Father, because He's loved you through me, your Savior Jesus. Rejoice in that. Rejoice that you're going to be with fellow believers who know this good news as well. That you'll be standing shoulder to shoulder with them because of the blood of Jesus. That your names are written in that book of life. These two maps, the map of the gospel today, Jesus going into these towns and villages, they mark us today in getting a reference of who we are as God's people in the church. The map of the kingdom of Cambodia, that marks us today as well as we get to know JP and Amy and hear about how the Lord is using them and discerning where we fit in with all of this. But there's another map that's us here today. It's the map that marks our call to go into the world. It begins with our own hometowns. Do you know that there are 36 different zip codes that represent Bethany? That's a lot of different zip codes in which we live. And each zip code, your hometown, is where you're sent. It's where you're meant to be, to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And we go out from there into our own culture. Maybe we think about that as the Southeastern District, where we work together with fellow believers of our church body and proclaim that good news of Jesus. Yes, we go overseas. But there are people from other cultures who are coming into our area of the Southeastern District, places like Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Charlotte, North Carolina, huge areas where people from the Hmong culture, people from Makani Jesus in Ethiopia are finding a home. And we have an opportunity to engage with them here on our own home soil, in our Judea and Samaria, our Southeastern District. We go into the world with opportunities to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And one of the ways that we're sent in those capacities is by engaging in prayer. Maybe we want to support financially, or maybe we want to find out what birthdays, when birthdays are, and send a note of greeting and encouragement. There's lots of different ways that we together as God's people can engage in the missions here in our Judea and Samaria and with missionaries across the globe. Because the mission of Jesus is not an optional program, but it is the very expression of my life as part of the body of Jesus Christ. So he purposely dispatches you and me, us, together with intentionality. This is where he wants you to be for the purpose of proclaiming his message. It's under his authority that we're sent to where he needs us and wants us to be. His authority is that mission message of our lives. And as we go, we're accountable to him. They're going to reject you, they're going to reject him. They're going to accept you, they're accepting him. It's not about us. It's about the message that we proclaim in Jesus Christ. And so as we engage with Jesus, as he calls us into that engagement by the Spirit, turning south into the towns and villages where he sends us, where we live and move and have our being, one of the questions, one of the today is with JP and Amy. How can we help you? How can we care for you and let you know that while life in Cambodia sometimes may be very lonely, you are not alone. You have brothers and sisters who stand with you and support you. Chocolate covered bugs, or are they just plain bugs?
Just plain bugs.
Oh, no.
I'll share more about that in the after. This is like a pretty little trailer. I'll share more about bugs later. But maybe somebody's thinking that sounds really cool. And there's two ways you can go. You can go as a short term team. We've hosted short term teams both in Vietnam and Cambodia, teams that come for a week or so and engage in some very intentional way in the mission in Cambodia. We'd love to have you. But then maybe there's a couple of you thinking, you know what?
Awesome. Great. Thank you. In your pew pocket in front of you, you'll see a brochure like this, or if you're at the in a front row, you might be at the end of one of your rows. Take a look at that and take it home and think about it. Pray about it where the Lord might ask you to engage. And I would also encourage us, not just individually, but as congregation. How might we, as a congregation, engage in what we've discovered today through Pastor JP and Amy? Some of you are thinking right now, what? Maybe you're thinking, why did you let him go down and go and sit, Pastor? Why didn't you keep him up here? We're gonna have JP and Amy come and bless. We're gonna bless them as a congregation before we're dismissed this morning. We'll do that in a little bit. Okay, friends, may the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that word that has impacted our lives today in the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we know unto eternity, that peace that passes our understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, engaging us in the call of the apostello, who we are, being sent as the Lord's disciples. And may you know great joy and blessing then in serving Jesus, who loves you unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen. As we have opportunity